All right, welcome back. We're out here at Kindred Spirit Brewing at 12830 West Creek Parkway. We're here for the second half hour of the show, and we'll be here after the show is over. So if you're in the neighborhood, come on by and enjoy a beverage and Frank and Hobble. What a thrill that would be.
And Brad Barnes.
But we're going to go to Brad in a moment to talk a little football. In the meantime, Frank has some UVA club announcements.
All right. So to make the UVA Club of Richmond very happy, the 2017 Wahoo Cup Craft Brewers Invitational will be back here at Kindred Spirit Brewing. That is Saturday, September 23rd. It's an invitational. It's sponsored by the UVA Club of Richmond, and it benefits children of fallen patriots. You can go to wahoocup.com to get more details. Also, the UVA Club of Richmond is hosting a special event down at the Branch Museum of Architecture and Design next Wednesday, May 24th from 6 to 9. Go to richmondwhos.org to sign up. That's going to be a lot of fun. Featured panelists are Zena Howard, Rodrigo Abella, and Mabel Wilson.
I saw that. It seemed a little academic for you and me.
It seems a little serious. And the moderator is Courtney Spearman, and she's got like 5,000 accreditations. So good for her. Anyway, for those of you who want to get a little education, go down for that event. So I encourage that. All right.
All right, Mr. Barnes here.
Brad Barnes, big man. The word big doesn't do justice. The first time I met Brad, I thought I needed a chair to stand on just to look him like in his chest. But
yeah, he and Ted Jeffries ought to get together.
Yeah, and Ted and Ray Roberts. Ray Roberts. If the three of them were standing side by side by side.
We can't find any guys like this now.
There are no more.
Yeah, there aren't many. The three of us have actually been together.
Yes.
Ted, Ray, and myself, and we're forced to be reckoned with.
That's a scary thought.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to have a open buffet in that situation.
So Brad played football at UVA from 1996 to 2000. He was, I believe, were you second-team All-ACC your senior year?
A couple All-ACC honors.
Yes, and you were academic.
I also had academic All-ACC as well. Yes, sir.
So you can tell he's a bright guy.
This guy is no dummy. So we're going to break down the UVA football team, and this is a very interesting year, I think. I think we're going to give Bronco Mendenhall, the head football coach, a little bit of a pass his first year, because I don't think he realized what he was into, what he was facing. And he and his staff, I think there was a shock. There was a shockwave. First off, the ACC is significantly better than I think he ever expected, particularly as evidenced since Clemson won the national title. And there's a whole bunch of other teams in the conference that are very good. And he found out in a hurry that you've got to get ready. In addition to that, I think there were a variety of problems with the Virginia team. The offensive line was very thin. They were very concerned when they practiced in the summer. He had to be very careful not to get anybody hurt, because there was really nobody behind the guys that were starting. And
those were my kind of practices, by the way.
Yeah, Jim would have excelled in those practices where there was no contact.
When he didn't hit each other, Jim?
So, Brad, to get you involved here, let's talk about the schedule for a moment.
Sure.
UVA opens at home against William & Mary. The Tribe is always pretty good.
That's a win.
The following week, they host Indiana University.
Win.
The following week, Virginia plays Connecticut at home.
Win.
That's a payback game. Virginia needs to win that game.
Should be.
The following week, Virginia travels early out to Boise, Idaho to play those guys. I still don't know why we're playing them.
Are those the people at the Blue Field?
Yeah.
I've got some insight on that, Frank.
Tell me some insight.
I think some of those – I had a chance to spend some time with Bronco earlier in the spring. And one of the things he said is we've scheduled some games that were far away. He wants to start thinking about how do we bring back some of those games locally, specifically in the Commonwealth, to create rivalries that actually mean something. So citizens of the Commonwealth can feel good about it. UVA fans can feel good about it. And if you can't make it out Scott Stadium, you can get close some of these other closer games. So JMU, ODU, and how do you make that more significant versus flying all the way across the country to go play Boise State? That doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Virginia traveled out and played Southern Cal some years ago in the early London years and lost a nail-biter, particularly when the officials basically got reprimanded because they cheated. They called the fake punt back, which was a brilliantly executed play. Virginia barely lost, but the problem was they still lost.
That's right.
And they come home, and they've played an early season game. You know, they need to start winning games at the beginning of the season to get ready for the conference. Everybody in the conference does it. Clemson and Florida State, they don't play any tough games those first four games.
You know, the other thing about the local rivalries, it also helps sell tickets, too. You get people coming from those schools to Scott Stadium.
And we need that.
Yeah.
That stadium's not always full. And I tell you the other thing, too, Frank, about those early losses. That's fine when you need it from a recruiting tool to come back and still play that tough ACC tournament. But right now, we need to recruit guys that are good for Mendenhall's system. And then, to your point, we need to get some wins under our belt and then feel confident going into the ACC, because ACC is getting tougher and tougher, as evidenced by Clemson winning the national championship and the success that the ACC had in the bowl games. It's not a slouch conference. It's probably second to the SEC.
You said something that's interesting. Recruit guys that are good for Mendenhall's system. So what kind of guy is that?
Go ahead. You want to keep talking about the schedule?
No, that's fine. I agree with that direction of the conversation. You know, I guess what I wanted to get at more than anything is let's let the school schedule opponents that make more sense.
That's right.
And that's my final thought there. Let's pivot. Let's talk about the things that Hobo brought up.
Yeah.
So I think when you look at Mendenhall's system, there's two things. One, there's the actual way that he plays the game that you have to have the right kids in. And then two, the earning your jersey, earning your number, that hard work mentality, that's not what a lot of kids like these days. They're prima donnas. They want to be the superstars. They want to play right away. They want to pick out whether it's the 7-1 or the number 5 on their jersey. They want to be able to do that. And so when you look at the last decade of the program and you see the amount of scholarship kids that have left the program, and when you see the amount of quarterbacks, I think one out of two quarterbacks have left the program in the last decade, you can't win with people who you try to recruit who weren't a fit for the program. So especially when you think about Mendenhall's program and the way that he goes and plays the game, you've got to have the right players on the field that want to be there, that are fit for the program, that want
to
win.
To recruit those kids, does he have to recruit nationally?
So, you know, that's another good point that he brought up. I think when you looked at what he did at first, he went all across the country. He went out to the states that he knew out west, and that doesn't work at the University of Virginia. And then when you think about what the talent that we have in Virginia, I've got to give the 757 a little shout out, but specifically in Virginia and along the whole Eastern Seaboard, there's a lot of great talent. And so I'm happy to see when I start looking at some of these recruits here for the 2018 commits, you've got a lot of guys that are at least East Coast guys. So concentrating their efforts in the East Coast, going down to Florida, hotbed of activity down there for great talented people. Angelo's Crowell's, Jermaine's son, Angelo's nephew, is coming to the program. So that's awesome to see guys like that come to the program who want to be there, who want to wear that white jersey, that white shirt, and earn their numbers, because that's what we need to win.
So I want to address a comment you made about his system, his style, his mentality, the way he runs the team. Obviously, it was a blow when Landon Word and Matt Terrell left, two linebackers that Mendenhall worked into the lineup, and he played them heavily this year, and then they left. Now, it's interesting, if you look on the list of the 7 commits that he's already got, he's got 3 linebackers. So it's not going to hurt him, okay? But it's a head-scratcher that Terrell left because they got to play.
They got to play.
They were in the 2-deep for the Virginia Tech game, which means they earned their way up. But apparently, they were frustrated.
They're frustrated. Who knows?
Any insight as to why they left?
A 2-win season, it's tough to keep talented guys that are playing early.
That's not it at all. I think it's his system.
Could be the system.
And it's earning the jersey number.
That's right.
It's earning which step you get to walk up, who gets to lead the team out of the tunnel, you know.
Right.
Guys must have earned something. They played.
They played. So it's a little head-scratching that they would leave. But I think
it goes back to the system. You're right.
Coach Mendenhall and his coaches are making adjustments. I've read the tweets lately. I'm reading all the posts that are out there on the various websites, especially the Saber.com, their media partner, and they're making serious adjustments. They realize they've got to be kinder and gentler. They cannot be Vince Lombardi.
Right.
Those days are over. Belichick in college would never work. It just won't work.
Brad, Frank has educated me on the importance on the offensive line, and it seems like we've talked about the offensive line ever since Bronco got here. What's the status?
So I think the status when we went into last season was we were the walking wounded. We had some guys that had to retire early because of injuries, so we were playing lean and thin to begin with. And that lasted throughout the season, and your body only gets more wear and tear as the season goes on. So that was a struggle. So some guys were forced into play when they shouldn't have been playing. They weren't ready. So I think the good news is we've had the transfer from Oklahoma State University.
Yes.
Which is fantastic. So he should be able to come in and play right away. And then I think the other good news is when you look at some of the recruits that we've gotten some really big dudes that are going to come in, and if they can't play right away, should be able to back up.
Didn't we have another grad transfer, too, from Notre Dame or something?
We had two.
Yeah.
All right, but what's interesting is Will Lawrence, one of the recruits for 2018, got scholarships from like 35 schools, of which Alabama and LSU and some others in the SEC offered him. He has got to get more of those.
He's got to get more of those. And I think the one beauty of the University of Virginia is right now when a guy like Will Lawrence looks at the depth chart, and he can play right away versus going to Alabama and sitting and waiting.
Yes. Playing
he says,
time.
You know what? I can play. I can start for 4 years maybe, and then I can go to the league. And the great news about it is while we haven't been victorious as we want to be and beat Virginia Tech as much as we wanted to be.
Amen.
The good news is we put a lot of guys in the league, so it's still a great recruiting tool that Mendenhall has.
And kids know that. The three returning offensive linemen that are going to be really counted on heavily are Jack English, right here from Richmond, played at St. Christopher's. He's left tackle, 6'5", 305. Jack English is going to have a whale of a year. The coaches love him. His offensive line coach made comments this week how he trusts him completely talking to the younger players.
He's a bright kid, too. That helps.
They moved in Jake Filer into the starting role at center. He's been in the program now 3 years. And Jack McDonald, who came in with Jack English, is also a rising senior. He's going to be right guard, most likely. Now, what they need is they need these grad transfers. There's three of them, the two kids from Notre Dame and the big killer kid from, was it Oklahoma State?
That's right, Oklahoma State.
Those three guys have got to gel quickly.
That's right.
And if they do, this actually could be a terrific offense because you know who Virginia's got coming back? They've got a veteran quarterback who's returning as a starter. He's going to be healthy again. And Kurt Benkert, and you know what? He can throw the football, and he's got receivers galore. Joe Reed, Cole Blackman from Glen Allen. Andre Lavrone is finally healthy. Hold on. I'm looking. Hold on.
That's all right. I think you make a great point. Benkert was under a lot of pressure last year.
Donnie Dowling
is coming back, which is great.
That's a big deal.
If you can get some stout dudes up front to protect him, and Benkert has got an arm, and he can throw it down the field, and these guys can get open, and we should be able to open up the offense, and that's what Mendenhall likes to do. We couldn't really see that last year.
Right.
Because you didn't have the protection that you need in the offensive line.
And this might be a team where the pass sets up the run, and the runners are terrific. Daniel Hamm is fourth year. He is fast as grease lightning. Jordan Ellis can break tackles. Jordan Ellis is almost 6 feet tall at 225. That's a running back. And get this, Lamont Atkins, the Gatorade Player of the Year in the state of Virginia, enrolled early this spring. He will go through, he's already finished spring ball. He'll go through summer ball. Don't worry about missing Smoke Mizell, although we will miss him. Lamont Atkins is his replacement, good out of the backfield. And then they got this kid from Florida, Jamari Peacock, 6 feet, 235 as a freshman. He is a bull in a china shop. Virginia has running backs. So if the linemen can just gel, and you can tell us, I mean, how important is the line? I mean, good grief.
Well, the offensive lineman is important for a couple of reasons. One, if you can't establish a running game, you're not going to be able to throw the football because all the defense has to do is pin their ears back and come at you every play. And then, two, once you do establish running game, if you can't pass protect, it doesn't matter how great your receivers are because the quarterback's not going to have enough time to get the ball off.
Asking Brad how important the offensive line is it like asking me how important is the jump shot?
Or what time is the next
meal? A little biased.
Or when is the next meal? Or do you guys have chocolate?
What is the next beverage? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, where's my next red ale? All right, we're at Kindred Spirit Brewing. We're having a great time. It's a great crowd. And all you Wahoos and ACC fans out there, if you've never been here, get out here to West Creek Parkway and check it out. The Trottier brothers do a great job, and their team, they've got fabulous proofs.
Before we let Brad, my last question, are you optimistic looking forward?
I am optimistic for sure. The good news is not a high hurdle with the two wins, not a high hurdle. But I think when you look at the schedule, when you look at some of the games that we should have won last year, I see a Virginia team that's going to go to a bowl game. I also see, because we got that Gatorade Player of the Year in the state, that's bigger than just having him on the team, because other guys are going to say, like, hey, if the best kid in the state's coming here, why aren't I going here? So that's going to be huge for our recruiting efforts in 2019.
I like that comment. And on that thought, we're going to go to break. We come back on the other side, we're going to wrap up with a summary of all the spring sports, the NCAAs, the ACC tournament for baseball, all the good stuff. Stay with us. This is Who's Talking, and we're at Kindred Spirit Brewing.